Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Vice Principal in Office is brought to you with support from our sponsors. Looking for a home in the greater Des Moines area? With over 19 years in the real estate business, Janae Griffith has the expertise and dedication to help you find that special place to call home. The kind of home where you can drop your bags, exhale, and say, "Yes, this is mine." Whether you're buying or selling, Janae Griffith is making it the home for you. Visit Janae, that's J-A-N-A-E, at JanaeGriffith.com to get started. Looking for custom team gear or standout promo apparel? Wee's Tees is your one-stop shop for high-quality, high-impact prints. Based in Ankeny, Iowa, Wee's Tees provides dependable in-house service from screen printing to DTF transfers to heat press work, all done with a passion for precision. Wee's Tees turns your ideas into gear that performs on and off the field. So head to Wee's Tees and customize your apparel for your grind, your game, and your glory. Get started today at WeezTees.com. On this episode of Vice Principal on Office, join me, your host, Lisa Hill, as I share the funniest school moments that prove Stranger Things has nothing on teachers. Trust me, these stories are the kind that make people laugh first, then stare, then ask, "Wait, that really happened?" Yes, yes it did. Now, let's get laughing and learning. Attention students, I mean listeners. The stories in this podcast are told from the host's personal and farcical point of view. All names and identifiers have been omitted or altered to protect identities. Now, get to class and enjoy the show. Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Vice Principal on Office. I hope February is treating you well. And honestly, wherever life finds you right now, we probably all deserve a little Valentine's Day chocolate. And if you work in a school, well, you've earned the whole box. Because while shows like Stranger Things have monsters, alternate dimensions, and unexplained chaos, K-12 educators have something even wilder. We just go to work. As you probably know from listening to this podcast, this is my 39th year in public education. I've almost retired 3 times now, and somehow I keep coming back. And now I think it's because working in schools is like watching the best TV show ever made. One episode hooks you, and suddenly you're binge-watching because you just can't look away to the things that are so unbelievable, you almost need proof that they really happened. So today, I'm sharing some of the funniest, most unbelievable school moments. The kind of stories that make people laugh, then stare, and then finally ask, "Wait, that actually happened?" Yes, yes it did. All of it. And with that, let's jump into our first strange teacher story. One day, I went down to talk with the band director about a couple of students and their schedules. His office door was closed, but I could hear a man's voice coming from inside. So I looked through a little window in the door and then eased the door open. And there sat the band director, leaned all the way back in his chair, head tipped toward the ceiling, eyes closed, feet propped up on a couple of boxes, completely asleep. And filling the office was Rush Limbaugh's voice, going full speed on whatever political argument that was making people mad that week. While the band director caught what looked like a very comfortable nap. If you don't know who Rush Limbaugh was, he was a longtime conservative talk radio host whose voice blasted across America for decades, usually sounding like he was mid-argument even when nobody else was in the room or listening. Anyway, I just stood there for a second thinking, is this really happening? Yes, yes it was. I wasn't really sure what to say, and not wanting to interrupt that really good nap, I started backing quietly out of the office. But my motion must have startled the band director awake, because he suddenly jolted upright, clearly realizing someone had come in, and hurried to turn off the radio. A little flustered, he straightened himself up and explained he hadn't been sleeping. Nope. He was visualizing his marching band show. Visualizing. Now, as a former band director myself, I can tell you that was a rehearsal strategy I'd never heard before. Apparently, preparation now involved leaning back, closing your eyes, and letting talk radio guide the creative process. And before I even made it out of the band room, the radio volume shot right back up, and Rush Limbaugh's voice came booming through the room again, fired up about whatever issue everyone in America was arguing about that day, which by now probably mattered as much as the socks we all chose to wear that morning. Which leads me to another reason I say Stranger Things has nothing on schools. Cue music. At this school, student awards night ran like clockwork. Families packed the auditorium, grandparents showed up camera ready, and students lined up waiting for their big moment on stage. And every year, the same counselor read the student names. He'd been in education more than 25 years, so by now you'd think awards night moderating would have been second nature. But for whatever reason, he struggled with it. And this particular night, he blew it bigger than usual. The counselor stepped up to the microphone, smiled, and began calling students forward. Paige Turner, please come to the office. Some audience members chuckled a little, partly because in school language, being called to the office is never good news, and partly because we were at awards night, celebrating students. So most people assumed our dear counselor had a quick slip of the tongue. But most people were wrong, because the counselor then read the next student name, Ella Mentry. Please come to the office. Now more people laughed, but the counselor, totally oblivious to his word snafu, kept going. Student after student. Chris P. Bacon, please come to the office. Jean Poole, please come to the office. Bud Wiser, please come to the office. And by the middle of the ceremony, the counselor finally tries to correct his word faux pas, but can't quite recover. Snorts, coughs, blurts of laughter continued from the audience. By the last student, the whole audience was in full-blown laughter because it sounded like we were publicly sending honor roll students straight to detention in front of their families. And every kid walking up on stage and accepting their award probably wondered, wait, what? What did I do? Best awards night ever. It was. It really was.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And moments like that are exactly why I say the strangest plots don't happen on TV. They happen in schools. Because no writer could invent this shit, and only educators live it. Those special moments when you sit there in the audience watching a hilarious school story unfold while thinking, you can't make this shit up.
Oh, Lisa, I'm facepalming right now.
I can see that, Mom. You're really good at it. I guess that's because you've had a lot of practice. But the weirdest, funniest, most unbelievable moments happen in schools every single day. Don't believe me yet? Here's another story that reminds me why schools don't need special effects or script writers. I worked in one building where some of the science classrooms had storage rooms attached. You know the kind. No windows, stacks of mystery boxes, old textbooks nobody wanted, equipment from programs that didn't even exist anymore. Basically, the place where science supplies went to retire. And taped right on that storage room door was a big sign that said, "Do not enter," which, if you've ever worked with teenagers, you know is basically an invitation. Tell students not to go somewhere, and suddenly that place becomes the most interesting location in the building. Anyway, the class was about to start. Students were filing in, talking with friends, dropping backpacks, getting settled for the period. And over in the corner sat the storeroom door with the big "Do Not Enter" sign taped across it. One curious kid could not help himself. He'd waited long enough. So he wandered over and figured he'd just take a quick look inside before class got rolling. Perfect teenage logic. What could possibly go wrong? Instead of just peeking inside the storage room, the student slipped inside. A second later, the door swung shut behind him. And here was the problem. This particular door only opened from the outside. Of course, this was a time in schools when safety was not a top priority. So, the student was now officially trapped inside the science room supply graveyard. At first, the kid stayed calm. Knocked a little, no big deal. Someone would notice. Minutes passed. Class started. Attendance got taken. And the science teacher moved on with his lesson, which that day was very interactive. Student groups talking, conducting experiments, all the sciencey stuff that would drown out someone knocking on a door. And of course, the class was so busy, nobody realized a student had completely disappeared from class. As class went on, the knocking grew louder, then came pounding, then yelling for help. Meanwhile, class is still carrying on like nothing was wrong. Near the end of the period, the teacher finally paused and said, "Do you guys hear something?" Half the class answered, "Yeah, but that's been going on for a while." The teacher walked toward the sound that was coming from the storeroom and opened the door. And there stood the student. And what did the teacher do? He closed the door again. At that point, he assumed the kid was just messing around. Now the class completely lost it because everyone realized what had actually happened. The teacher finally opened the door again, and the student walked out looking like they'd been missing since last semester. The teacher then asked, "Were you actually stuck in there?" Yes, yes they were. Later, the teacher admitted he panicked a little upon discovery of the kid, but also couldn't help laughing at the fact that one of his students had spent most of the class locked in storage. Thankfully, the kid and the parents laughed about it too, because let's be honest, today's parents would have gnawed the teacher's head off, vice principal included. And if you think the storage room is horrifying, let me tell you about a social studies teacher who took American economics to an alternate reality. This social studies teacher honestly believed they had designed a fresh approach to help students really understand his economic course material. Now, whenever someone says that, you kind of need to brace yourself a little, because his big instructional breakthrough was this. Students would watch a movie and identify examples of product placement as part of their economic lesson. And to be fair, product placement is a real economic and marketing concept. Movies in the US are packed with brands paying to show up on screen. So using film to teach the idea actually made sense. The problem? He picked Harry Potter, a British film, which, at least in the first movie, doesn't exactly lean into American-style product placement. Did I mention it was a British film? But this teacher was committed to the plan. All week, the classroom lights were off. The glow of the screen lit the room. The British accents floated into the hallway while students watched wizards, broomsticks, and magic spells instead of analyzing economic strategy. Some students watched, some half-watched. Others tried to complete worksheets about economics while Hogwarts carried on in front of them. Meanwhile, in the back of the room sat the economics teacher in a chair, head tilted back, mouth slightly open, completely asleep. And every day followed the same routine. Students walked in, the lights went down, the movie picked up right where it left off, while their teacher apparently caught up on his rest. At the end of the week, he proudly announced the unit had been a success because the kids really enjoyed it. And honestly, he wasn't entirely wrong. It's true, it's really true. Because nothing hooks students on economics quite like 5 hours of wizard movies while your teacher naps in the back of the room. Just more proof that Stranger Things has nothing on teachers.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Of course, not every strange school moment turns into a full-blown crisis or headline story. Sometimes it's just the little everyday moments that make you stop and think, how is this my job? To which you then share with family and friends later, and they just stare at you like you're making it up. These are the strange things that don't deserve a whole episode, but absolutely deserve to be told. So here are a few rapid-fire moments from school life. Little reminders that working in education sometimes feels like stepping into a completely different universe. I once worked with a high school teacher who apparently had a side business running out of the trunk of her car. Before school, after school, and sometimes even during the day, students knew they could swing by and buy used clothes. T-shirts, dresses, whatever she happened to bring in that week, all at what kids probably thought were bargain prices. It was basically a student thrift shop operating out of the staff parking lot. Unfortunately, staff didn't exactly benefit from the deals. For one, nobody was really shopping in the same size range, and for another, most teachers weren't exactly planning their wardrobe around whatever showed up in a coworker's trunk. But selling clothes wasn't even the strangest part. this same teacher had a habit of sharing way too much personal information with students. And when I say way too much, I mean the kind of stuff that absolutely did not belong in a classroom, including detailed drawings on the board explaining what their breast augmentation surgery results would look like. Yes, she did. She really did. Meanwhile, actual instruction wasn't exactly the priority. Students were told that if an administrator walked in, everyone just needed to look busy. So as instructed, every student kept a textbook on the floor by their desk, combat ready. Now, if you're wondering how the administration found out about students being on textbook high alert, a couple of students had finally had enough and reported the teacher's antics to the office, which honestly is usually how these things end. Faculty members do dumb things. Kids laugh about it for a while, but eventually someone speaks up, because most students actually do want a real class when they show up to school. So the takeaway from this story, teach the board-approved curriculum in the subject you were hired to teach, and save the side business for after-school hours completely off school property. Just saying. And here's another discount sale gone wrong moment. I worked with another teacher who decided to make a little extra money by selling cans of pop, or soda, depending on what part of the country you're from, right out of his classroom. It started small. He'd stop at the store, pick up cases of canned drinks on sale, stash them in his classroom, and sell them to students in his own classes for a small profit. Nothing huge, just enough to make a few extra dollars and keep kids happy. And at first, the refreshment service stayed pretty contained. His students knew that if they had a dollar and needed a midday boost, his room was the place to go. But kids talk, and word spreads fast in a school building. Before long, students from other classes started figuring out where they could go get a cold drink during the day. And before we knew it, kids were asking their teachers to go to the bathroom during class. And instead of heading toward the restrooms, they'd swing by this teacher's classroom for a quick caffeine stop. And somewhere along the way, the operation grew bigger than the lesson plans, because some days it felt like he spent more time cracking open cases of soda and making change than actually teaching, because nothing motivates a tired teenager in the middle of the afternoon quite like an ice-cold Coke. It does. It really does. Eventually, administration caught wind of the hallway beverage business, and the for-profit refreshment stand got shut down. And just like that, the building returned to its usual mid-afternoon energy. Quieter, calmer, and just a little more tired. There was another social studies teacher I worked with who honestly seemed to move through life without showing much emotion at all. What is it with these social studies teachers? Anyway, every day looked exactly the same for this teacher. He'd drive to school, unlock his classroom, and pull out the same stack of transparency sheets he'd been using for years. Then he'd dust them off, lay them on the overhead projector, and teach lessons that hadn't changed in a very long time. For anyone too young to remember, before laptops and PowerPoints ruled classrooms, teachers used something called an overhead projector, a giant glowing box on a rolling cart that hummed loudly enough to double as classroom white noise. Teachers wrote lessons on clear plastic sheets called transparencies and stacked them for each class. To change slides, you didn't click a button. you physically peeled one sheet off and slapped the next one on, all while hoping it lined up straight on the screen. And if the transparency slid sideways, the whole class tilted their heads while the teacher tried to fix it, without blocking the light. Plus, those machines ran so hot, you could probably fry an egg on top of them by second period. It was basically PowerPoint, if PowerPoint required lifting, sweating, and occasionally technical prayer. As for this teacher, his teaching style matched that of the economics teacher in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You remember, Bueller, Bueller. This is a must-watch classic 80s movie for anyone who has attended school. And this teacher's energy level was not just reserved for the classroom. He carried it into the hallway. Between classes, he'd stand in the hallway during passing time, watching students move between rooms like teachers are supposed to do. Most teachers were greeting kids, joking around, and checking in. But not this teacher. No smile, no conversation. Just quietly observing traffic before heading back into his classroom to start the next period. Then, the final bell would ring. He'd head home, and the whole routine would start over the next morning. Same day, every day. Like the movie Groundhog Day. Just without the comedy. I honestly don't ever remember seeing this teacher laugh. I never saw much reaction at all. Until one random lunch period. For some reason, we had extra pizza left over from a student event. Not wanting it to go to waste, I grabbed a box and started dropping off slices to teachers. When I walked into this teacher's room to offer him a slice, something unexpected happened. He smiled. A real smile. He did. He really did. And then he opened his desk drawer to grab a fork. And inside was what every longtime teacher's drawer eventually becomes. Old papers, random supplies, mystery items that clearly lived there for years. He dug around for a bit, finally pulled out a plastic fork, wiped it off on his shirt, and took a bite. And then he started talking. Just chatting, asking how things were going, telling a couple stories, a completely different person than the quiet guy who usually drifted through the day. And I remember standing there thinking, man, I should have brought this guy pizza a long time ago. Because that simple slice absolutely made his day. I guess even in a place that runs on routine, sometimes all it takes is a slice of pizza to make you realize you've just stepped into a completely different version of someone you thought you knew. So there you have it. A few strange tales about more of the strange things I've witnessed throughout my years in education. Because one minute you're dealing with schedules, lesson plans, and frickin' lunch duty, and the next minute someone's locked in a storeroom, a teacher is running a soda business, awards night sounds like detention, and a colleague suddenly lights up over a slice of pizza. And that's really why I love telling these stories, and why I titled this episode, Stranger Things Has Nothing on Teachers. Of course, I really wanted to call this episode, Seriously People, The Daily Adventures of Educators Who Walk into School Expecting a Normal Day, Often to Find Themselves Working in a Completely Different Dimension, Time Zone, or Possibly Another Planet, because the strange things that happen at school leaves your friends and family asking, wait, that really happened? Yes, yes, it did. Because schools aren't just places where kids learn math and reading. They're full of real people, real moments, and situations so strange and funny, you almost have to laugh just to keep going. And honestly, after all these years, that unpredictability is part of what keeps most educators coming back. So whether you're a teacher, administrator, student, or someone who just survives school and enjoys hearing what really happens behind the scenes, thanks for spending some time listening to this strange episode. And remember, if you ever think life feels strange, just spend a day in a school, and you'll quickly realize stranger things are really happening there. Yes, yes, they really are. Well, kids, the dismissal bell is ringing. So until next time on Vice Principal in Office, push in your chair, put your name on your paper, be kind to your classmates, put your phone away, and use your indoor voice or not. Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoyed the tales from Vice Principal in Office as much as I enjoyed sharing them. And it is also my hope that you were not only entertained by this episode, but that you walked away with a little nugget of knowledge that gave you some insight on how working in a school is not for the faint of heart. And as I've said before, life is short, so you got to do the best you can to leave the world in a better place than when you got here. And of course, for the love of God, see the humor in life. It's a lot more fun and a little easier to get through the ick in life with a smile on your face. Catch you next time on Vice Principal in Office. Next time on Vice Principal in Office, join me, your host, Lisa Hill, as I celebrate the one-year anniversary of Vice Principal in Office. I've picked out the best of school stories from different episodes. So if you love true stories from education that are funny, entertaining, and unbelievable, tune in February 24th to get laughing and learning. Hey students, I mean listeners, thanks again for tuning in. And if you've enjoyed today's show, please leave me a review. It really helps grow the show. And don't forget to hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. Trust me, you don't want to be late for this detention. And listeners, if you've got a school story of your own that you think would fit Vice Principal in Office, I'd love to hear it. Just head to my podcast website and send me your story. And who knows, your story might even get a shout out in a future episode. Thanks so much for listening and for your support. Vice Principal in Office is an independent podcast with everything you hear done by me, Lisa Hill, and supported through Buzzsprout. Any information from today's show, along with any links and resources, are available in the show's notes. So if you want to do a little homework and dive deeper into anything I've mentioned, head over to my podcast website and check it out. And a big thank you to Matthew Chiam with Pixabay for the show's marvelous theme music. And of course, a huge shout out to my mother. This podcast is for the purpose of entertainment only, like the recess of your day, and not a platform for debates about public education. Though, you never know, you could learn something. And just a reminder that the stories shared in this podcast represent one lens, which is based on my personal experiences and interpretations, and also reflect my unique perspective through humor. Names, dates, and places have been changed or omitted to protect identities and should not be considered universally applicable. Until next time, keep laughing and learning.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.